Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
My second year at Baylor, I decided it's time for a life change. Coach Taft took the team to church, and I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, and it's never been the same.
Today on the Waco Experience, an American story, we'll get inspiration from Jay Kelly. In this episode, it's just a peek into the story of how this former Baylor football player's life was changed, how he got into the business of exotic leather and custom boots. And I'll say you have got to drop by his store, the City Ranch Boot Company, just off Highway 6. Unbelievably beautiful boots, wallets, purses, belts, and much more. Jay has fantastic skins on hand, and you can select the leather and design your own custom boots. And the real story is how God has used Jay and his wife, Terry Ann, to grow the kingdom of God. Students Standing Strong is a ministry impacting the lives of our youth, our future. Students Standing Strong is based on student-led Bible clubs, empowering students to stand strong in their faith at school. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week, I bring you stories from leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. Call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, pergola, or maybe you're ready to build that custom home. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. Biddy and Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and has a community room you can reserve and use at no cost. Waco's highest rated coffee shop, Biddy and Bo's, is at 110 Franklin in downtown Waco. Chord Buddy is the world's best way to learn guitar and ukulele. Christmas is the perfect time to give the gift of music. This Shark Tank winner and US-made learning system is available on Amazon and their website, chordbuddy.com. Heart of Texas Indoor Billboards. My friend JB James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the US Army, and his team at Hot TV amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. Quality Cabinets. Your home is an extension of your personality. Smooth, clean, and elegant. Quality Cabinets is the perfect choice for the modern aesthetic. Visit the Design Center at 720 New Dallas Highway in Waco. Quality Cabinets are available for delivery when you are ready. Call 254-744-0938. And visit the website, qualitycabinetstx.com. D. Scott here, and On Location brought the mobile studio out to the City Ranch Boot Company, and we've got Jay Kelly here. We're also going to talk about part of the nonprofit organization they have, his wife, Terry Ann Kelly, Students Standing Strong. We're going to hear all about the background of that, but I was excited just to wander around here and look at the exotic leathers, the custom boots and other products that you have. But Jay, welcome to the Waco Experience.
Hey, thank you, Scott. We've been in Waco. We've been coming to Waco a long time, but we moved to Waco 5 years ago. We started City Ranch Boot Company in Waco. 5 years later, here we are out here, I would say off the beaten path, but not. We are right off of Highway 6, close to Hillburg Barbecue, right around the corner.
So I'm going to give people the address. That's 10267 North River Crossing here in Waco, right off Highway 6. Give us the website that people can go to find out what's going on here at the business.
CityRanchBoot.com.
Beautiful stuff that you have here. This isn't your first venture into leathers and boots.
No, it's not.
Boots.
Scott, 35 years ago, I met a gentleman in Dallas, Texas, and he introduced me to the leather business. From that, I started my own business. I worked for myself for 10 years, had a partner for 20 years. I sold the business to the partner 5 years ago, and my wife and I decided it was time to slow down a little bit and move to where we both, move one, where I became a Christian in Waco, and two, where she came and she was a professor here at Baylor University, as well as getting her undergrad and her master's degree for teaching here as well.
So let's go back into some of that backstory. You came to Baylor in a non-conventional way, I'll say.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think a lot of people end up at a Division I school by not playing any football in high school. So what had happened, Scott, is when I grew up in Canton, Ohio. When I was a sophomore in high school, I decided to start doing things that I probably shouldn't have been dabbling in. Those things really got me, it took me in a direction that I shouldn't have gone. And so anyway, for the next 2 to 3 years, I barely graduated from high school. I think the teacher just decided that she was going to let me pass just because she believed in me, but I didn't believe in myself. So I went to work for my dad, or I went to work for my stepdad when I graduated from high school in Canton, and that was in 1978. And so I worked there for a year and a half to 2 years. In the meantime, I had a brother that got shot and killed. I had a sister that had drug problems. And I just decided when I was 20 years old, I was going to move to Texas with $500 in my pocket.
That's a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
A young man, for anybody.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of trauma.
Yeah, I just looked at it as tough luck. You know, so I had to be an overcomer. So I decided one day I wasn't going to work for the city anymore. I was going to go to Texas and make my own way. And so I jumped in my vehicle, had $500 in my pocket and a full tank of gas, and I drove to Houston. Why Houston? I have no clue. And so I went to Houston and I stayed in my vehicle. I lived in my vehicle for 3 to 4 weeks when I got to Houston, and I got a job as a bouncer in a country western club. I decided to start working out. I started getting a little height and a little size on me. And at this time, I'm about 6'5", I'm about 220. And I started working out in a gym in Houston next to the country western club I was working at. And I ran into a gentleman that everybody knows his name, Earl Campbell. Earl asked me where I played football at, and I, of course, said I didn't. And he asked me why, and I told him why. And Earl sent me out to the University of Texas to have an appointment with Fred Akers. And so I walked in Fred Akers' office 2 weeks later, and I told him my story. And I don't know, I think he was just doing me a favor, because I knew Earl Campbell. I then went to Wharton. He sent me to Wharton Junior College for a tryout. And when I got to Wharton Junior College, about 30 minutes into the tryout, they gave me a full scholarship for 2 years to play tight end. And then when I was a sophomore, they moved me to tackle. I made first team all conference at junior college in tackle. I never played tackle in my life. I was always a tight end when I was in Pee Wee football. Here I am now, and I'm at Wharton Junior College in my second year, and I'm getting scholarship offers from Baylor and Texas A&M and TCU and Jim Wackard and Grant Taft and Jackie Sherrill and down in Houston and Rice. One day I'm sitting in front of Grant Taft, and Grant Taft said to me, he said, "Jay, I'm going to give you a scholarship for Baylor University, and you're going to have it until you graduate unless you do something to mess it up." From that point on, my life changed forever. My sophomore year at Baylor University, they decided to redshirt me and move me back to tight end instead of tackle. I ran plays in and out with a couple guys for the next couple years. We had a couple good seasons. My second year at Baylor, I decided it's time for a life change, and Coach Taft took the team to church. And after one evening of listening to Johnny Ray Watson, tell us how Jesus could change you. And I got on my knees. I cried for 30 minutes like a baby, and I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, and it's never been the same again.
And how old were you at that point?
Oh, at that time, I'm like 24 years old.
I'm a little older than the average.
I was the oldest kid guy on the team, yeah. And so gave my life to Jesus, and like I said, things have never been the same again.
You're playing football for Baylor.
Yep.
You go to the church service. God speaks to your heart, changes yes. you. You yep. accept that gift.
Yes. And if I can say this, Scott, you know, a lot of times when people give their life to Jesus, they feel like they're going to have to give up a lot of things in order to make it work. And I woke up the next day and I didn't have the Lord completely took the desire away from me. I mean, I didn't have the desire to go do the things that I was doing 2 days earlier. And so, yeah. And so my life was just, I was a new man. Old things were thrown away. New things were about to come.
James Jarman.
Yeah.
Was on James. This show. He's over at Meals on Wheels.
Yep.
You Love played James. With James.
I played with James. He's just a good friend of mine. James is a good, good, solid guy here in Waco. Does a lot of good for the community.
Yeah, Meals on Wheels is great. He was he led the Boys and Girls Club.
Yep.
Football also changed his life, changed his trajectory.
Yeah.
Impacted a lot of people.
Yeah, he did.
What happened next? You had a couple more years of school.
Had a couple more years of school. I graduated from Baylor, and I got a job opportunity to go into the sporting good business. And I did that. My wife and I, we moved to Tennessee. Oh, I got married as soon as I graduated. I left that out. That was the best part of my life, other than giving my life to Jesus. So I married Terry Ann, and she and I moved to Nashville, Tennessee. We worked there for 1 year. We decided it was time to start having children because I wasn't getting any younger. We had our first child in Nashville named Caitlin. And upon being born, a couple days later, we moved back to Texas. And here we are.
And where in Texas did you end up?
We moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I stayed in the sporting good business for a couple years until I got hired into the leather business. And that's when a lot of things changed in my life as far as a job is concerned.
So let's talk about that transition from being an employee to owning your own business.
Yeah.
A lot of people dream about it. Few people actually do that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your transition.
Well, first of all, I walked in and I told my wife I was going to quit my job and go start my own business. She thought that was crazy, of course. I worked for the John Mailer Company for a couple, 2-3 years. Mr. Mailer unfortunately passed away. Then I started my own business, and I did that for 12 years. And then I merged with one of the partners that was part of the John Mailer Company. And then he and I were partners. But owning your own business, I mean, people think, I want to own my own business so I can travel more and I can have more fun. And it's a little different than that. It's a lot of hard work. And so for the next 35 years of my life, I was self-employed. I had a partner for 30 of them. I was self-employed, and we moved the business to El Paso, and I was back and forth on an airplane almost every week.
Wow.
Yeah, it was tough. We ended up having 5 children, and mm-hmm. Lord blessed us, and 4 out of the 5 went to Baylor, graduated from Baylor, and one we have an Aggie, which is perfectly okay. We love the Aggies.
We like land grant schools. I came from Oregon State. So.
Everyone needs an Aggie in their family to keep them honest. Yes,
there you go. Running your own business. When I talk to people that are thinking about entrepreneurship, I tell them, you're not an entrepreneur unless you feel like throwing up at least once a day.
Yeah.
First of all, because you think you're going to starve. Then you want to throw up because you think, how am I going to handle all this business?
Yeah.
So obviously the leather business worked for you, took care of your family.
You know, when you're working on your own by yourself, I had a partner, but I mean, we basically, you know, he did his thing, I did my thing. You have to find an accountant, you have to find a bookkeeper, you have to find warehouse people to run the leather show. And in doing all this, it's challenging because I'm living in a Dallas-Fort Worth area and the warehouse is in El Paso. So when we have a problem and someone calls me, I can't get there the next day. But so being an entrepreneur, I love the freedom of taking time off when I wanted to take time off. The thing about being able to come and go as you please, it's not like that. It's just not. There's right. a lot of hard work that goes into it. And when someone says, oh, you have it made, you didn't walk in my shoes. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Here we are surrounded by these beautiful boots and
jumping on a
shoes.
Plane, going to South Africa and building relationships with people who supply us ostrich leather. Mm-hmm. Then flying over to Zimbabwe and talking to people who supply us elephant and crocodiles. And then going over to Colombia and talking to another guy who, it's just a constant building relationships, because relationships is everything about a business. Having a relationship with people that you do business with, you got to trust each other. I mean, that's just it.
I often say that life is too short to do business with people you don't trust.
Absolutely. The guy that I met in Zimbabwe loved Jesus. I'll tell you a quick story. When I met him for the first time, he said, Jay, we got to go to the top up there. And I said, what's at the top? He says, I built a little church up there. And we went up there. It took us about 3 hours to get there. We got up there. He says, we need to get on our knees, Jay. I said, why is that? He said, because I want to make sure that the people that I'm doing business with are God people, that are get on my knees kind of people, that are giving back to the Lord what the Lord what is his, and you're not putting it all in your pocket and running around having a jolly old time. He said, so I got on my knees with Peter Cunningham and we thanked Jesus for an hour and a half.
Brother believers, sister believers that we have, lovers of Jesus in different countries, put up with a lot more than what we have to put up with. We're concerned because it's 15 or 20 minutes to church.
Yeah.
They're walking hours.
Yeah. I'm with Peter Cunningham. One day we flew out there to his house, and he said he wanted to go out to the ranch, and so we went out to the ranch. My wife was with me, and his wife was with him. We're driving out there, and we get out there, and Peter looks at me with a real stern look and said, we need to get to town right now. And I'm like, okay. I looked at my wife, and I said, we need to go to town. And I didn't make a big deal out of it. We got in the car. We went to town. Peter and I got together once we got there, and I said, what's happening? He said, the president of Zimbabwe is taking the farms away from people and giving them to people that don't deserve them. And he says, they told me if we didn't get off the farm today, that they were going to make havoc to my family. That was a gentle way. I didn't say exactly what he said. Yeah, and so people in other countries, I mean, when you profess Jesus, you better stand tall, because, you know, it's difficult. And we have a young son that's getting ready to move to the Middle East because God called him to the Middle East. And I'm like, Chad, you sure you want to go to the Middle East? You know, because I'm dad, right? And he goes, Dad, when God calls you to go somewhere, you go. And I said, absolutely, absolutely.
That was Zimbabwe under Robert Mugabe.
Under Robert Mugabe, yep. We were there right at the beginning of it all.
Wow.
And then the next week, Robert Mugabe came to Peter's business, and we were there, Robert Mugabe's people, and they said, Mr. Cunningham, we need to talk to you. Mr. Mugabe asked me that we should, if you don't get off the property now, that he's going to serve your wife's head to you on a platter. And Peter Cunningham looked at him, stood up, and I'll never forget, he looked at it, stood up and said, fellas, when my God tells me it's time to leave, then it's time to leave. He hadn't told me that yet. Thank you for coming, and I pray that you guys go back and revote and let my family live. They went back the next day. They said, Mr. Cunningham, we don't understand why Mr. Mugabe said to, Peter said, I know why. He said, God told him to. Even though he doesn't know it, God told him, let us stay.
Deep faith.
Yeah.
That's deep faith.
Oh, it's huge.
You were college athlete.
Yeah.
You accepted the gift of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For life. You decided to follow him.
Yes.
He changed your life. He changed the desires of your heart.
Absolutely.
You and your wife have been involved in ministry.
Yep. Student Standing Strong. My wife, one day, I came to my wife and I said, honey, I think we need to move our kids from private school to public school. And she said, if that's what the Lord's telling you to do, telling us to do, then let's do it. And so that next year we decided, so my wife, being a trooper that she is, she went and got all of the junior high addresses and telephone numbers of every student that was there and emailed their parents and sent letters to their parents inviting them to our house for a get to know party from moving from elementary school to junior high, because that's the tough grade, junior high. And so we thought that there was going to be about 30 people showed up. There's over 145 people showed up at our house. And we lived in a park area, so there was it was easy to push everyone down into the park at the pavilion. So we did that. And that was the very first meeting of telling the kids what to expect when you get to middle school. And we had breakout sessions there. My wife is running the whole thing. We had breakout sessions. She shared her testimony with all the parents. Parents come to know Jesus. And for the next 15 years or so, we were in Grapevine sharing the love of Jesus in Grapevine, South Lake, Colleyville. We were in all the schools. She's got students standing strong in over 20 states. And kids are getting up every day that we don't even know where they're at. And they're studying God's word. And students, as long as students are leading students, as long as it's a student-led, so students standing strong, kids get up and make a difference, get up and stand strong. And so that's what she does. That's her passion. Every day she wakes up and she says, what can I do for Jesus today?
And how do people learn more about Students Standing Strong?
She has a telephone number, 817-715-0000.
That's a great number.
I made it easy for her. She has an email address. You can go to Students Standing Strong and find her email address. Every now and then we put a gala on, but most of the time it's just people come in saying, hey, we love what you're doing. Let us help you.
And that website is mys3.org.
Yes.
mys3.org.
Yes.
So that's Students Standing Strong. What do you see as the future for this ministry with students? Because every day, our students are bombarded with a lot of bad options.
Yeah.
What do you see for this?
Students? I hear what you're saying there, but I'm also, you know, since we had our incident here in the United States with Charlie, we're starting to see a lot of kids in junior high, in high school, and even in college, standing up for Jesus, saying, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of dragging people down. It's time for me to put on my boots and make a difference. What I think is happening is that when kids are leading kids, because it has to be kid-led. So when kids are leading kids in a Bible study, we're building up leaders. She gets calls all the time from parents saying, thank you. My son, when he was at that age, I couldn't get him to talk to his friends very much. He was an introvert. You asked him to stand up one day and lead a lesson, and he did, and now he's leading Sunday school, and he's sharing Jesus everywhere he goes. And so that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I have a boot business here. Jay, I had a guy ask me recently, how many boots you sell out here? You seem like you're off the beaten path. I said, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. I said, as long as I continue to do what God wants me to do, he'll make a way. He'll provide the living. We've been out here 5 years, and I haven't missed a meal yet. And I haven't missed a house payment. I haven't missed a car payment. We're doing okay. You know, it's all about him. When you walk into my door, I want you to feel the presence of Jesus in your life. That's what City Ranch Boot is all about.
Yeah, well, they say that's what Jay is all about. That's what Jay's about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Central Texas, Waco, there's a lot of good stuff going on. Tell us what you see for the future for the area here. We've got students graduating from elementary, junior high, high school, college, entering the workforce. What's the future look like?
In Waco? Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, we've got churches out here that, there's 5 or 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 15 churches out here that the number is so big that, I mean, these people love Jesus and they're getting young people involved, and you got to get the young people involved. You got to, because us old timers, you know, we're not going to be around forever. And my kids, we have 5 kids and all 5 of them love the Lord, and all 5 of them are sharing Jesus with friends and their families. And I just lost my mother recently, and my mom told my youngest son, I want everybody at my funeral to know how to get to the kingdom of God. And my youngest son said, Dad, I got to lead the service. Grandma Dixie wants me to do it. I said, it's all yours. I'm not even going to ask you what you're going to talk about. And so Chad got up there and I mean, he was a great example of what is happening in our country today. He got up there and said, family, I don't know most of you here because you're from Ohio and we're from Texas. I love you, but I don't know you that well. But what I do know is that Jesus loves you. And there's only one way to get to heaven and only one way to get to see Grandma Dixie again. You have got to be born again. And so he just shared from his heart and yeah, I mean, that's what I see happening in Waco here. I mean, there's just a lot of young people just coming in here, just wanting to talk. And so I'm here, I'm a boot company here out kind of off the beaten path, so to speak, but I'm not. And my doors are open. A guy came in the other day, he goes, my wife's just been diagnosed with cancer. I don't know why he felt the need to tell me, but he did. My wife's dying from cancer and she's lost 100 pounds and I've lost 50 and I need to change the belt out that I bought from you 6 weeks ago. I handed him a belt and I said, hey, you know what? We love you. You come here anytime you want. Take this belt. And so he was so appreciative of that. And so I got a hat guy named Born Again Hats that provides hats. Listen to this. He provides hats to cancer patients, female cancer patients. And he also picks up kids all week long, Special Olympics, and takes them bowling and takes them different places. Then on Sunday, they come over to his house and they come over to his house on Sundays and they have church and he's a go-getter.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.